turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. And we want to really welcome all of our brothers and sisters who have traveled far and those that are near being with us here this week at our international convention in Baltimore. And we have a spirit of anticipation in our hearts regarding what God will do for us this week. How many here are really looking for God to give you something, to speak to you, to love you? A lot of hands went up on that one. To instruct us, release us, encourage us, enlighten us, edify us, and direct us. Because God is our Father. And there's two things I'd like to mention about fatherhood, and this directly relating to God, which, remember, in the context of the Jewish faith, the word God was very sacred. Even in the scripture, it was written down without any vowels. It was four consonants. And even in writing those consonants, the scribe was to cleanse himself before he penned those four letters, and then he was to wash himself after he wrote those four letters. Because in the Jewish mind, the word God was very high. And of course, we read Moses meeting God in Exodus 3, verse 14, asked him, "Who are you? What is your name?" And God said, "I am that I am." And that became his name written in the scripture. And there are 300 names in the Old Testament, actually in the whole scripture, 300 names for God. But it was Jesus Christ that opened up the Jewish mind by the Holy Spirit, instructing them when they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus said, "Say, Our Father." We are familiar with that word. But actually, it embodies something that's very important to us. That God is our Father, the head of our family. And there's one thing, one of the two, one thing that a father knows, and that is perspective. He has the big picture, or foresight. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, God foreknew you, even before the foundation of the world. Before we were ever born, He foreknew you, but not merely you, as important that is to you, but He knew all things and had the foresight and the plan long before any material thing was ever created. For He has always been all-knowing. He has always been all-powerful, and He has always been everywhere, and He has always been spirit, and eternal and infinite in his understanding in Psalm 147 and verse 5. He is our Father. When you come to your earthly father, you would like him to have a sense of direction. Dad, you're the head of our family. Where are we going? What's going on? Do you see the picture, Dad? And we do. Though limited as people, but fathers are the heads of their families. They are people that are able to see down the road. And when Israel was brought out of Egypt, that was very important to them, that they were being led by God, who also was their father. For even in Exodus chapter 4, God says, Israel is my son. And that's a dual prophecy. Israel is my son coming out of Egypt. And then Jesus Christ as a baby went down into Egypt and he came out of Egypt fulfilling that scripture, meaning two things. Israel is my son and Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is my only begotten son. Our Father, who art in heaven, he knows. That's important in our family because Jesus said, I call you my friends and I tell you my secrets. And even Jesus is quoted by Isaiah, as referred to by Pastor Mar this morning. Even Jesus' name is Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9:6, because he knows where we're going. He sees. He is the head of the church. He said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you. I am your father. I chose you. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, for he will know where he is going and not grope in the darkness as Israel did in disobedience, but live in the light of life. Our Father. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. There's a very key verse for us here with much meaning to it. And I'd like you to read it with me. And he brought us out. The context is Egypt. He brought us as a nation out of Egypt, from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Notice this. God says, I brought Israel out of Egypt so I can bring Israel in. That's what a father does. He knows like where we came from, and he's able to lead us on into where we should go. That's our Heavenly Father. Look at the Bible. In the beginning of the Bible, we have the Father planting a garden, and at the end of the Bible, we have a garden with a tree of life, and there is no death, no weeping, no tears. There is no bondage and there is no fear there. But our Father brought us out of Egypt and brings us in to a heavenly land. Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father. What did the Father promise us? Pentecost. In Luke 24:47-52. What did he promise? The Holy Spirit. Our Father is in heaven. But he has sent us the Holy Spirit that we would not walk in darkness, and we would always have a sense of direction in our life. And it's just like in our earthly families, when we have our father at home, that we come home and dad somehow knows where we're going, what it is that we're doing. He's there to lead us, and there's some kind of a sense of providing for us. And though we have all, we fail as fathers, undoubtedly, the bar that has been set and the understanding that we have through the Holy Spirit is simply, and even another application is in 1 John 2:14. Perhaps we should read it. It goes along with it. But turn there with me, and then we will make our point. Chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. What kind of fathers are these? They are the spiritual men that have known Jesus Christ. That is from the beginning. And it isn't explained there. What beginning are we talking about? Are we talking about the beginning of the Bible? The beginning of time? Are we talking about the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry? Perhaps. Have you known him that started here on the earth and heard about his miracles and his wonders? Or how about the beginning of the church that was here in Ephesus? You've known him that is from, actually, he is from the beginning. I believe it means this, that he that is before time is known by us by the Holy Spirit. And that we have known him in a fellowship that transcends time and space. That we have known him in the eternal dimension of the reality of God. That we inhabit the high and holy place with the Holy One in Isaiah 59 and verse 17. Or 57 verse 14. What do you see when you are there? We are fathers because we kind of have a sense of direction. That's one thing that I'm so much appreciate with the team that God has given to us here in Baltimore. That regardless of turning to the right or turning to the left, there is by the Holy Spirit a sense in you of direction. A spiritual sense of direction. I know where I am going. Well, what about that? Or what about this? I realize that and I know about this. Maybe I don't know that and I don't know this, but this one thing that I know is that we have known him that is from the beginning, and he knows all things. And he has given us an anointing, 1 John 2:20, and we know all things. And we need not that any psychikos, anthropos, psychological or soulish man teach us, but we have an anointing that teaches us and leads us in spiritual reality and truth. Are you a father? Maybe not. I'm a young man, but the word of God abides in me, and we have overcome the wicked one. And then he says, and I've written to you little children, because why? Your sins are forgiven you. There's a time when a believer, maybe there's some, undoubtedly some of you folks that are sitting in here this morning, and you are in an amazing place, not because of us, but because of him. And God's Spirit and God's work here is awesome. And you're a new believer, you're a child. And you don't know much, but you know that your sins are forgiven you. You don't know the Bible hardly at all. You don't even know a Bible verse, but you know that your sins are forgiven you. Little children, I've written on you because your sins are forgiven. Young men, the word of God abides in you. And then fathers, you've known him, God. That is from the beginning. First point, a father, our heavenly father, has perspective. Every situation, there is a divine perspective from our Father. There is insight. He goes beyond all the pizzazz, the jazz, the tinsel, the gold, the talking, the words. He cuts right through. And he goes right to the real kernel. And the essence said, I'm looking for our Heavenly Father has divine viewpoint. And in the Gospel of John, I can't speak long, but listen, in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was manifest. At the end of John, chapter 21, Jesus never goes up into heaven in the Scripture. In Matthew, he goes up. In Mark, he goes up. In Luke, he goes up. But in John, he does not go up. Why? Because in John 3:13, listen carefully, no one has gone up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. He was in heaven while he was on earth. And that is a message for us. That even though we are here on the earth, we are also seated in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6. We are dwelling in eternity. Even as we are here in our mortal bodies, we are God's people connected with His Son organically. He is our head. We are members of His body. He is our Heavenly Father. And one thing He will give to us is divine perspective. And that is why it says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 2:14. Vain babbling, tire me out. Can't do it. Somebody said, why don't you defend yourself? I said, I grew up in the ministry never defending myself. I didn't know I had to start doing that. I didn't know that was our calling, to defend ourselves. But there's so much going on out there. We'll let it go on. And people make decisions and they can choose if they follow vain babblings or they know Him. That is from the beginning. Who gives us divine viewpoint. And we follow Him wherever He goes. And the truth goes deep inside our spirit and gives us, number two, a Father will provide. He'll feed you. He brings home the bacon. Dad brought home the bacon. He will feed you. He'll give you what you need. Our Heavenly Father will never fail us. And He will feed us with food that is convenient for us. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5 and 6, He'll provide water in the desert, manna from heaven. He'll provide leadership, spiritual, pastors, teachers, encouragement, love. God will provide His visitation. Psalm 8, verse 3. What is man that you are mindful of him? And this is man taking such a low view of himself. And we should live in that low view of ourselves. And say, what is man that you would even think of us? Or the Son of Man that you would visit us? I was Psalm 113, verse 6. God humbles himself even to look at the heavens and the earth. And sometimes, we can feel that. Even to look at the heavens and the earth with this holy, awesome God who is so high and so awesome and so pure. And yet, imagine, here is Job. And he comes to Job in the whirlwind in Job 38, verse 1. And he says to Job, stand up on your feet. I bring you into account. And I can't get over that God Almighty, our heavenly, almighty God would come and talk to us. It is amazing. And he does. Because he loves us. Putting up with us. When we drink iniquity like water, Job 15 and verse 16, it says that, I drink iniquity, what is man? How can man that is born among women be clean? How could even the heavens be clean? A man that drinks iniquity like water. We have lost our perspective of our sinfulness. Many, many believers, they become casual and indifferent and careless about the fact that they are a sinner and they are unworthy and we have failed. And I realize, and we know, oh, and come. He comes to us. What is man that you would be mindful of him or the Son of Man that you would visit me? No. Not even that. Not only visit me, but permanently dwell in me. Oh, not even that. Even more. That I would be put in God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1. We are in God. In His family. In God Himself. What an amazing reality that is, and He is our Father. How could we say Father, but we do? He is our Father, and He has perspective, and He has direction, and then He has provision. And we'll close with this part. What's a dad do? He gives you a baseball bat, baseball glove. What's your dad? He buys you some candy, hugs you. What's your dad do? He sits with you. He cries with you. He looks at you. He instructs you. He cares for you. All of us have had a dad. Dad. Who is God? He says, when my father and mother forsake me, God shall take me up. Psalm 68, verse 5. He puts the solitary into families. This is our family. God is our Father. God will provide for us with something much more than a baseball bat or a baseball glove, much more than a moment of consolation and a word of wisdom. God will continue to speak to us and never stop. He will continue to care for us, and He'll never leave us or forsake us. God will go with us all the way, and all the way He will say, this is the way. Don't go this way or that way, but this is the way, and I will provide for you every step of the way. And when we step out there, sometimes on the water, and we are walking out there, we cannot believe it, but this is knowing the reality of God who will never fail us, and He is really, really, He is our Heavenly Father. We want one. And we've got the best. We want Him. And the good news is, He wants us. He made us for Himself. And whoever we are here this morning, the prodigals decided to come back home. The Father was just ready. There He was. The prodigal, the slightest indicator, coming over the rise of the hill on the horizon. There He is. And He went out there. And He ran. And He took him. And our Heavenly Father has given us all grace. Romans 5, verse 2. Our Heavenly Father has given us the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father has opened up to us this book. Our Heavenly Father will take us all the way, and though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they do comfort me. There is nothing that our Heavenly Father will withhold, in Psalm 84, verse 11, but He will give to us, he that walks uprightly, there will no good thing will He withhold from Him. He is our Heavenly Father, our God, our Savior. He is the way and the truth and the life. And He loved us so much that He gave us His Son. And now through His Son, now we live and we move and we are in a family. And this family is God's family. And Paul said, I bow my knees in the name of the God whose family is in heaven and is also here. Part of our family is in heaven. And then part of it is here on the earth. And what did he pray? That the love of God, that we would comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of his love. Because you know what? When God's our Father and we're in the family, we heard it some months ago, everything's all right in our Father's house. How amiable are your tabernacles. Even the sparrows make their home up in the roof. There's a place for you. God came to save you and to take you and put you in, and you are in the greatest phenomena on the earth. It's the family of God. You are connected with the greatest person in the universe, and that is God Himself. You have been given exceedingly great and precious promises that cannot fall to the ground. What is your addiction? God, your Father, will take it away. What is your problem or your pain or your confusion? God, your Father, will teach you and instruct you in the way to go. And in that way, we have divine perspective and divine provision. And we are amazed over and over again how abundant the abundance of his house in Psalm 34, the greatness of his mercy, the unending, unceasing ministry of his Spirit to us. I will water my garden every moment. Isaiah 27:3. Water the garden every moment. I could preach all day. I am so happy about it. I am so thrilled about it. I just cannot believe it. I'm just so blessed by this body, by our purpose, by our Heavenly Father. And we can just say, man, Lord, I don't know where I am. And the Father says, I know where I am. Sit down. Take it easy. Have a sandwich. I'm with you. I'm your Heavenly Father. And say, Lord, there's a lot of voices out there, background noise, a lot of gab out there. And the Lord said, yeah, that is. Nothing new about that. But I will hide you in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I will lead you in and take you in and lead you out. I will guide you and bless you and fill your mouth with good things and with truth that does not fall to the ground. That's our kingdom, our God, our purpose is our fellowship, our family. And I have nothing to do with any of the other stuff. I'm not interested. Nope, shun it. Profane and vain babblings, for they will what? Increase unto what? More ungodliness. The gab leads to gab, and the lie to lie, and the discord to discord, and the parties to parties, party spirits, and all of that stuff is not in our Father's house. For he said, is Christ divided? And the answer is no. And is the provision enough? And the answer is yes. Can you love? Yes. And love fervently? Yes. And can we edify? Yes. And can we evangelize? Yes. And pray and heal the sick and minister and counsel? Yes, we can. And can we evangelize? Yes, we can. Because that dear world out there needs a lot of help. And they need our Heavenly Father. And he's waiting to say, come on in. Come on in and sit down. Take it easy. My yoke is easy and my burden, it is light. And it is all for you. Yep. Thank you, Lord. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Boy. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You may be seated. salvation call. You're here today, never been born again. Would you say to Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Wash my sin away and fill me. I'm coming to you, Heavenly Father. I want to be born into your kingdom. And I say it by faith. Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody who has never accepted Jesus, thank you. Raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? There's two over there. Anybody else? Raise your hand. You would like Jesus in your heart today. Want Jesus in your heart. Raise your hand. Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe. We believe. We believe that your Holy Spirit can go way back into way, all the way, and all the way forward, all the way in our hearts, our minds. We believe that somebody here could be delivered in a second from the pain of their sin, the guilt, and the pain of failure, insecurity, fear. Oh God, if you're believing God for something like that, would you just raise your hand? You want something, God, to take your Heavenly Father. Father, we pray and believe. Jesus, you answer our prayers. This week, Lord, we are not going to miss anything that you have for us. We're walking in faith. We're walking in faith. Bless, Lord, beyond what we could ask or think today, our Heavenly Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this one song together, and then good to have Bob and Joanne Hodgkiss. Boy, I can't believe it. So good to see you. Amazing. Okay, we'll take the church an offering. We do it every Sunday for our new church building, which we do not have it. We don't know where it is. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know exactly, but we do this by faith. We collected a good amount of money, and we're doing it just every Sunday. Change whatever you have to give. And God will give us someday a new church building. That's what we believe Him for. So let's sing this song, and then you are dismissed.